church. They've changed the name. They've changed their ways. They've changed other things. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I go home. I can't go to the church that I left out of because I wouldn't agree with it. It wouldn't be something that I think was appropriate for my kids. I think what we have to understand is sometimes people will leave. Sometimes people are going to turn their back on God. Sometimes they'll turn their back on their family. But if they came back home, what would they find? What are they going to see? So I want you to see a lesson from the father of the prodigal. I want you to see some of these things, and this is what the main idea of the message here is, a lesson from the father. And the first thing I want you to get is, we know this story. Jesus did not tell us that the father was a bad parent. I know sometimes that's what we think. We begin thinking, hey, my kid's turning out wrong. Everything's not going the right way. It must be that I am a horrible parent or a bad parent. And we begin asking our questions with, what if I did this, or if only I did this, or if I was probably too this or too much that. The truth of the matter is that even God, the perfect father, has prodigal children. There, and I'm not being disrespectful to him, but we have the same free will to turn our back on God as good parents have their children sometimes turn their back on them. The good news that the father in Jesus' parable is actually a picture of the Heavenly Father, and if he has children that turn their back on him, I think that's something we can remember, that as we live for God, even sometimes our children will rebel. And I know it's not what we want, it's not what we're hoping for, it's not what we're looking for, but the idea of the message is, how do we respond? What is it that we're supposed to do? How do we live? And how do we get by? And I think it's important that we can take some vital lessons from this. It breaks our heart when our children leave. It breaks our heart when people leave. It breaks our heart when things are not the way that they're supposed to be. And when you see someone leave and you see somebody turning their back on their family, turning their back on their church, turning their back on God, you're like, you're heartbroken. So what are you supposed to do? Here's some lessons I think we can learn. The first thing is staying on the porch. Staying on the porch. Verse number 20, he said, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I know you can say, well, where's the porch at? I don't know where he was looking from, but I do know he was looking for his child. And your child will know where to find you when he returns. I think it's important that we stay in the same porch, just stay in the same spot. We have the same beliefs. We continue to be faithful. You know, even though his father, son, had been fellowship, had been broken, even though he took away a great portion of his fortune, even though his hopes, I'm sure, was dashed, we find a man with the personification of faithfulness. He's still on the same old homestead. He's still watching for his son return. He is still on the same porch. And you know what? When the prodigal returns, they should find you. Still serving, still being faithful. You're still staying on the same porch, still with you're faithful to God, you're faithful to your marriage, you're faithful to your family, you're faithful to your church, you're faithful to serving others. Just because they left, just because they turned their back on you and turned their back on God, doesn't mean that when they come back, they're going to find you doing something different. You say, what am I supposed to do? And I've had people ask me this question. Pastor, I got saved later on in life and I didn't have the influencer of my kids and they seem to be turning their back on me and turning their back on God. What am I supposed to do? Stay on the porch. Just continue on serving and being there. Next thing I want you to think about is remain strong in the faith. Remain strong in the faith. Having a prodigal child is, among other things, a trial of your faith. It brings grief. It brings heartache. And it can cause you to question even what you believe and what you've practiced, if whether what you practice has been right. But this is a time not when we need to question, but we need to stay faithful to God. And we need to stay faithful to the things that we know are true. Think about what it says in 2 Timothy 1:12. When he said, what's important about 2 Timothy? Paul is getting ready to die. It's probably the last book, as far as we know, according to history and traditions, the last book he ever wrote. He's writing to probably someone he cares about more than anybody else. He even calls him his son in the faith. And he's saying to him, look, preach the word. Be faithful. He's not telling, hey, Timothy, quit. Hey, Timothy, it's not worth it. I'm getting ready to lose my life. I've been beaten before. I've been shipwrecked. I've been bit by a snake. I've been in hunger. And I've been where I didn't have basic needs. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, remain faithful. It says here in 2 Timothy, and it says in chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm getting at that sometimes you're going to face trials. Sometimes you're going to face hardships. Sometimes you're going to face problems. But we need to stay strong in our faith. Paul says this. You think about Stephen. He is having people throw rocks at him, and he's getting ready to go into eternity. But what does he do? He holds on to his faith. You think about Paul as he's getting ready to be martyred. He holds on to his faith. If walking with the Lord guaranteed that everything would turn out right, that your kids would be perfect, then everyone would want to be a Christian. Everyone would say it's easy. Let's just keep on doing. But during times and difficult times like this, our faith is tested. It is times like this when things do not go our ways, and even family members question us, and even maybe our most precious kids, things, people that we love more than anybody else in the world loves, walk away from us. That's when we ask, am I a convenient Christian? Or am I strong in my faith? Because you do begin to question. You do begin to wonder, and we need to remain strong in our faith. You say, what am I supposed to do? Stay on the porch. Remain strong in your faith. Third thing is keep your convictions. Keep your convictions. Now, this is not the right time to start reevaluating the convictions when trials come into your life. If a conviction was right before, it will always be right. If it was truth, it doesn't change because somebody else changes. As truth doesn't change based on another person, even if a person whom you love so much accepts it or rejects it. That's why it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this as one of my favorite verses. And he says, but none of these things move me, neither account I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? You say, well, Pastor, these kids are leaving because of your convictions, because of your... You know what? There's a lot of kids that leave homes that have no convictions. There's a lot of places where kids will turn their back on their parents and they've let them do whatever they want over those years. And they've gone and lived whatever way they wanted to. They left those homes too. Now, don't get me wrong, we as parents sometimes make a mistake, and if we've done something wrong, if we sinned against them, we don't need to keep that conviction. We should always be close to the Lord. We should always be passionate about our serving God. We should always be seeking and asking God to teach us and show us and lead us and direct us. And as we grow in our faith, maybe sometimes we will begin to change or modify some things that maybe we had learned as preferences before and see convictions. Now, if we've done wrong, be honest, be open with our kids. But if you have a conviction from God, don't change it just because your kids leave. Don't change it just because it's not popular. I think of the story of Job. Job lost everything. His wife encouraged him. He said, curse God and die. Even his friends came and they said he had some secret sin in his life. What was Job's response? He said, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. If I stay true and faithful to the Word of God and to God's principles, I'm going to stay and keep my convictions because my heart will not reproach me. Martin Luther once said, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. You know, changing our convictions based on the wishes of others tell us something. If we change what we think and what we believe and we say, you know what, so-and-so must be true. We got a conviction from the Bible and we get this Bible, we get the Word of God in us, we believe it from the Word of God and someone challenges us and we begin saying, well, you know what, maybe I should change that. Who we're thinking is more intelligent, that person or God? Who are we saying that we love more? We care more about what this person thinks or about what God thinks. I tell you, when people return, when they come back and when they, what they need to see, what they need to understand, if you have a child that's a prodigal, what they need to see and understand, you need to stay on the porch. You need to keep your convictions. Keep your faith strong. Keep your convictions. Keep them. Let them know that it's real and true to you and true to the Word of God. If you're convinced by the Bible, by the Word of God says that we should not forsake the assembly of believers, you know what? We should keep that conviction. If the Bible teaches us that we should be faithful to our spouse, we need to keep that conviction. If we're supposed to be pure in what we watch, we need to keep that conviction. If holiness is a lifestyle that is commanded, we need to keep that conviction. If we believed 20 or 30 years ago that the man was the head of the household and he's the spiritual leader of the house, we need to keep that conviction today. If it was right 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's still right today. And when they come back and when they see what's going on, they need to see that you meant what you meant. You believed what you believed. And like I said, if you learn and if you've grown, explain that. But the convictions is something you need to hold to. Why is that? Because when they return home, they see that it didn't mean anything to you back then. It's not going to mean anything to them today either. They're coming back and they come back. They want to see someone who's being, we need them to see someone who's faithful. Someone who's keeping their convictions. Don't slacken your commitment to the Lord. Don't drift in your convictions. Just because your child did stay true to what you know is right based off the Word of God. I think it's wonderful when Sunday morning comes around and they say, you know what, my mom or dad's still teaching that Sunday school class. I think it's wonderful when they come in and they say, you know what, right now, mom or dad's singing in the choir, or my teacher's still doing that. I think it's great when someone who's been here, has not been here for years, walks through the door and sees people still serving, people still being faithful, people still doing these things and keeping the same convictions. That's what they need to see. You say, what am I supposed to do? We can't change their heart. We pray for them and we stay faithful and stay strong and we keep our convictions. Next thing I think it's important to do is to stay in the place of blessing. It's sort of like what we talked about this morning. Being in the spot where God could bless. Being in the way the Lord led me. Finding that spot, finding that place, putting that bullseye there, finding that appointment exactly where God can lead and guide us. Stay in God's love. As a parent, you long for acceptance. You know, we want our kids to like us. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I would like for Christian and Andrew to like me. I don't know if they do or not. They say they do. I don't know sometimes. But I mean, no one likes to have, oh, great, let's try to get my kid to hate me. No one wants that. But the reality of it is, if you stay strong to your convictions, you love the Lord, you live for God, sometimes you're not going to be the most popular parent. I've heard it. I've seen it. I felt it before you're just not going to be the most popular parent. But if we will stay in God's love, if we will be passionate towards God himself and stay in the realization of God's love for us, he loves us unconditionally. He's expressed his love throughout the pages of Scripture. If we will absorb these expressions of love, we'll understand that the prodigal child, the whole story is about him being selfish. The whole story is all about him. But what the Father shows us and he teaches us, he stays in God's love. And the Bible says in Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay in God's service. You know, or stay in God's care, excuse me. What do you do with this? What do you do when someone's gone away? I mean, it can take your heart, your mind, your emotions as a parent. Your child perhaps is something you love more than anything else in this world. You know if he's flirting or she's flirting with danger. You know with the people they're hanging around with. You know that they're ruining their lives and maybe their grandchildren's life. And there's no way in the world you can feel good about what's happening in that individual's life. So what are you supposed to do? Stay in God's love, but stay in God's care. Remember, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. You have a God that still loves you. You have a God who said, I see this, I understand this, and no matter what anybody else says or does, you can still know that he cares. That's something we can hold to. I think it's also important to remember that we stay in God's service. You say, what do you mean stay in God's care? When you think about it, David, when that happened, and I think it was at Ziklag, and all his wife and all his mighty men, all that after they had gone to fight the Philistines, they got turned back. All their wife and their wives and children, all their possessions was taken, and all the people got mad at him, and they were picking up rocks, and they were thinking about throwing him at David. What does David do? He says he encourages himself in the Lord. See, things are going to be hard. Things are going to be tough. And when your family walks away, and when your friends walk away, or the church members that you loved and that worked so hard with, and you love them so much, and you want so much for them, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, what are you supposed to do? Keep yourself in God's care. Encourage yourself in the Lord. The father of the prodigal son must have known how to encourage himself in God. How else can a young boy come to his father and say to him, give me what I have. I don't think you're taking care of me. How else could he have done it? He had to he had to encourage himself in God. He must have learned how to pray for his son. I'm sure his heart was heavy. I'm sure he was concerned with him. But he remembers God's faithfulness in his own life, and he trusts in God's care. I think it's also important to stay in God's service. Don't be disappointed. Don't become so disappointed that you become detached and ultimately defeated. Continue serving the Lord with your life. Your capacity to serve others and to bear burdens of others can actually grow, not diminish. As you go through this difficult time, you will increase in empathy and will desire to be able to pass this on to others, the comfort that God has given you. That's why we chose the verse in 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What a great verse. You see that phrase, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. What the Bible is saying is that we're going through a hardship. We're going through a time. I don't know what the tragedy may be. I remember the assistant pastor at Baptist Bible Church. Most of you know who Dr. Tom Berry is. His son, Richard Berry, was the assistant pastor here for a while. And he talked about how his wife had trouble with pregnancies. She lost multiple babies over a number of years. And talked about how that broke her heart. And broke their heart, obviously. But anytime there was a lady that had lost the baby, she could go comfort them in a way that no one else could. When this happened, they could go and God helped her through it. God saw her through it. And so you can go put her arm around that lady and say, I know what you're going through. I know God helped me through this. God can help you through this. And one of the things we got to remember is we need to stay in a place of God's blessing. We need to remind ourselves of God's love. We need to remind ourselves, God says, cast your cares upon him. But also remind ourselves, we need to stay in God's service. We can't just give up. We can't just throw in the towel, because someone else is going to have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. And someone else is going to need someone to say, hey, look, stay on the porch. Stay faithful to God. Stay strong in your convictions. When they come back home, they need someone. They need to see that it's real to you and that it's true to you. I think about the story of Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel is a very telling verse. It says in Ezekiel 24:18. The Bible says, so I spake unto the people in the morning. He spoke to the people in the morning. That's pretty obvious. And at even my wife died. Saying that evening time is Ezekiel 24:18. And at even, my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. So what he's saying is Ezekiel's wife dies in the evening time. God commands him to go out and preach in the morning time. You say, wow. He's staying in God's service. He did what he was supposed to do that morning. His wife passes away. The next day, he goes and does what God commands him. You say, that's too much. That's too hard. Remember, it is never a good time to quit. Prodigal children do not need to see you abandon your faith. They need you to stay consistent. They need you to try to win them back. They will ultimately be convicted by your faithfulness to God. So we need to make sure that we're not trying to change to please them, but instead we're staying in the place where God can actually bless us. Next point, remain yourself. What do you mean by remain yourself? Don't let this destroy who you are. When the prodigal son came home, not only was his father waiting for him, but his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And all the time the son had been away, and after all that the son had done to his father, the father was still full of love, still full of compassion, exactly the way he was when his son had left previously. We need to remember that a grieving parent can sometimes become reclusive. Sometimes family trials can completely change a person. I think we've probably seen that before. It's easy for a grieving parent to be full of self-pity and worried about the judgment of others. But I don't think we need to lose hope. I don't think we should lose compassion for our child. And as it says it up there, have we considered what the difference would be if that prodigal son walked home and saw a dad that was bitter, saw a dad that was angry, saw a dad that wasn't forgiving, saw dad to just say, just go ahead and go. I gave you everything that was yours. You shamed me and you shamed his family. You're not accepted. So we would never do that. Let's make sure that we remain faithful and true to what God's made us to be. Remaining ourselves. Don't lose hope. For the father of the prodigal to have seen his son at such a distance, I think he was looking for him over and over. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you say, Pastor, you make it sound easy. Pastor, it's much easier for you because, you know, your children are young, they're here at church, they're serving. Pressing on through the pain. You know what the reality is? Great grief is a powerful force. I've seen it in parents. I've seen it in other people that have had prodigals in their life. Depression may cause them to lose their desire to work or turn to numbing devices. Sometimes in their grief, they lose not just their child, but they lose everything. In this story, I think it's important to show us the father recognizes that although his son had been taken half of all the father owned and used it to shame them both, the father had not lost all. He recognized that he still had much, been given much by God. He worked faithfully to steward what he had left them. You think about it, when the prodigal came home, he was still able to bring forth the best robe. He was still able to put the ring on his hand. He still be able to put the shoes on his feet. Still able to kill the fatted calf. He still had the things that God had given them. If he had just given up and he said it wasn't worth it anymore, there would have been no ring. There would have been no robe. There would have been no shoes. There would have been no calf. And I'm not suggesting that it's easy. I'm not suggesting that it's not going to be hard. But we see what this father does. He sows another crop. He raises more cattle. He does everything that's needed to be able to continue on. He refuses to sink in despair. He sees that God has given him more than just his child. The child might be the greatest possession, but they press on through the pain. The father recognizes that although his son did these things, he still had much to serve God. You know, it's easy to come into excuse mode. It's easy to say, because this happened, because that happened, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop working. I'm going to stop serving. I'm going to stop being faithful. This disappointed me, and because it disappointed me, it's all that I live for. I've had people tell me that. I live for my children. I live for my grandchildren. Don't you have a God that you serve? Don't you have a God that's supposed to be first in your life? And I'm not minimizing it. I know it's not my child, but I've seen church members leave. I've seen young people we've invested years in turn their back on God. I've seen them question if there was a God. And it breaks your heart when you see somebody going down the wrong path and you just want to grab and you just want to take them. You want to shake them and you want to say, come on, don't you see what you're doing? You're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself. What do they need to see you do? They need to see you being faithful. They need to see you keep on pressing on. They need to keep on seeing it is hurts. It does hurt, but you're not my whole entire life. God has given me even more, and I want to live for him. I want to serve him. Think about for a second about the other son. Sometimes when I read the story about the other son, it makes me cringe. And the brother comes home. The father loved both his sons. And you see in the story here, and it says in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. Look what it says in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go, therefore, and his father out came out, therefore came his father out and entreated him. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't let the son be angry. I probably would have turned around and been angry with him. I would have said, who are you to tell me what I should do? I would something like, you're not going to get any of the fatted calf if you're going to act like this. You know, there's just things that come to our mind. But what does the father do? The father demonstrates and the father shows that he loves him. He loves both his sons. While he loved the younger by praying for him and watching for him and then forgiving and restoring him, he loved the older brother by reserving his half of the inheritance for him. He loves them both consistently. Say, what are you getting at? He doesn't tell the younger brother, okay, you're back now. You can have back a portion. He doesn't offer that. That's not his to give. That's the older son's. He loves him consistently. I've seen sometimes when a parent gets so heartbroken over a child or someone else, they forget all about the other kids. Be careful with that. When you got a child that's wayward and going the wrong way, don't forget you have some maybe younger ones or older ones that you still have a responsibility to. Remain faithful to them. And this last thought is someone to come home to. We think of the story of the prodigal son as having a happy ending because the prodigal came home. Indeed, this is a happy ending as the father stated himself. But in the end, it wouldn't have been so happy if he had left the porch. know, he rebukes the older son. He tells him, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For the brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I know our hearts are broken by some people. It could be sons. It could be daughters. You know what? It could be husbands. It could be wives. It could be kids in their Sunday school class. You know, as I was preparing or doing the message, young people came to my mind that, boy, I wish they went to church. I wish they lived for God. And church members had gone through our minds and hearts, and they said, where are they at? Where are they? What? It breaks our hearts. So what are we supposed to do? I think we need to stay faithful. I think we need to be here for when they come back, and I think it needs to be just the way that they remembered it. And don't get me wrong, can we grow? Can we learn? Can we do things? Yes, I agree. And sometimes people say, well, it grows cold and it grows stale. I understand what you're saying there, but it still need to be preaching the same Bible. We still need to be singing the same songs. We can grow and we can learn, but they still need to have the same convictions. We need to stay on that porch so when they come back and they're looking for something and they see something, it says it means something to them. They didn't change just because I asked them to. They didn't change because of the fact I threw a little bit of a fit. They didn't change just because I became rebellious and began to start questioning. Their faith is strong. They pressed through the pain. They saw that God had given them other work to do. And even though other people might not respond the same way, they said they're going to have someone to come home to. Church, I kept on thinking about that through the lesson or the message. What if the prodigal son came home and he found a bitter old man, shriveled up because he gave up on working, and said, if my son can't even respect me, my son can't even love me, if my son can't even do these things, what's the worth of the living? The reason why it's important is because if your son comes back, he needs to see that your relationship with God is real and that these things were important to you, to him, and that that's going to win him into the faithfulness. You changing your convictions, you changing, saying, well, maybe I am too tough, maybe I am too hard, you know what that's going to do? That's going to say, they care more about me than they do God. It wasn't that important. They said it came from the Bible. They said it was what they believed from God, but they changed it. They need to see us being faithful. Am I a parent of prodigal? No. Have I seen it happen? Yes. Have people I love turned their back on God? Yes. What am I supposed to do? I can't change him. All I can do is stay faithful to him. All I can do is stay on the porch. Remain strong in my faith. Keep my convictions. Keep on pressing on, seeing what God's trying to do, and stay where they can return to. Be faithful where you're at. Let God serve you. Serve God with your life. Stay in his care. Stay in the place where he can bless you. Remember we talked about this morning, being in that spot so he can lead you, so he can guide you. This evening, I know that there's families, moms, dads in the room who has prodigals, have family members that we wish were doing differently, living differently. What are we going to do to change that? You know what we're going to do? We need to stay faithful. We need to stay on that porch. We don't need to let this change us. We need to remain the same and allow God to work in their hearts by seeing our faithfulness. And believe. Believe that God can do it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Tonight I pray that it was a help to you in this thought. I know we all have someone we could pray for. I know as a father, our hearts can be burdened for our children, but as just Christians that have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are away, we have somebody we can pray for tonight during this invitation. I don't know who it is that God's laid upon your heart, but let's ask God that we would remain faithful. We would stay on the porch. So that way, if that person ever came back home, they would see us doing the exact same thing that we were doing before, serving God. Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Speak to people's hearts. I know in this story we talk so much about the prodigal, the selfishness, the riotous living, the harlots and the pigs and this and that. But Lord, he's not the only character here. Lord, I would venture to guess that we are more often like the father and put in that situation than we are like the prodigal who left home. Teach us how to respond. Teach us how to live. Teach us to be faithful. Teach us to be strong. Teach us to keep our convictions. Lord, that we learn from you and learn from your word, and we drive it, we nail it deep in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we count on you to take care of everything else. Help us to be faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has spoken to your heart, the altar's open.